The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. After Jesus had been born at Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod, some wise men came to Jerusalem from the east. "Where is the infant king of the Jews?" they asked. "We saw his star as it rose and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was perturbed, and so was the whole of Jerusalem. He called together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people and inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. "At Bethlehem in Judea," they told him, "for this is what the prophet wrote: And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, you are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you will come a leader who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod summoned the wise men to see him privately. He asked them the exact date on which the star had appeared and sent them on to Bethlehem. "Go and find out all about the child," he said, "and when you have found him, let me know, so that I too may go and do him homage." Having listened to what the king had to say, they set out, and there in front of them was the star they had seen rising. It went forward and halted over the place where the child was. The sight of the star filled them with delight, and going into the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. And falling to their knees, they did him homage. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. But they were warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, and returned to their own country by a different way. The Gospel of the Lord. Pilgrimages have never been as popular. Of course, ease of travel, the possibility of flight around the world, and whatever else people may say, we are all better off than previous generations, and we have more time and more things at our disposal for doing that. But of course, pilgrimage has always been part of any religious history. The Jews made pilgrimage, of course, to Jerusalem. Even before that, journeys to holy places we read about in the early pages of the scriptures. And Isaiah gives that beautiful first reading we had of all the throngs and all the people coming, as it were. Then, of course, we know in our own country, the medieval pilgrimages to Walsingham revived again in the last 100 or so years. Canterbury, of course, but many of the holy sites, both here and also, of course, Rome and the Holy Land and Compostela, and so it goes on. And, of course, the Islams have their Hajj to Mecca, the Hindus going to the Ganges, Buddhists to the temples. To be on a pilgrimage seems in many ways to be part of religious journey. Some would say it's even just been part of a human, because it's always a quest. Pilgrimage is a quest. You're going somewhere, and as we go, we discover things on the way, but the quest is to a place. And because it's religious, it's to God, but so that is true for us humans as we go through life, all on, as it were, a pilgrimage. And great pilgrim Cardinal Hume always said, because we come from nothing, but we should be here some 60, 70, maybe even longer years, but then we should no longer be here. And our stay here has a clear beginning and a definite end. But it's clear, or it becomes clearer, that as we journey on that pilgrimage, we begin to realize it's not just in this life, not just in this world, at least not permanently. And that's a great contribution the Christ child has to give to us. It's an eternal life that we're on pilgrimage to. And while we're here, we're, as it were, going through that journey. And while we're here in this life, it usually ends at the foot of the altar, on our last journey, but it's not the final, because that pilgrimage goes on. But while we're here, it's that journey searching for God, a constant looking for the Christ child, the one who leads and guides us. And just as the people in the story we've just heard in the gospel came to that journey and led to the Christ child, to the Word made flesh, to the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, to the Word made flesh, the splendor of the Father. It's a journey to God, Jesus, the Son of God, who shows us the Father. So that's our quest while we're here in life, and it ever goes on. And that's why it's Epiphany 2014, and it's not like it was however many years ago it was, or even last year. We're still questing, we're still journeying on, we're still discovering. But as we go, like the three, maybe not more than three, but the three gifts, we too come with gifts. We've all been given different gifts from God. Our talents, our opportunities presented to us, to our loved ones around us, the inspirations, the encouragements that we receive, all the resources we have at our disposal. And so it's a time to, maybe today, to reflect on the different talents, the different gifts that we've got, and whether we use them wisely and well, prophetically, properly, for our journey in pilgrimage for God, to God. Pope Francis is urging us in his latest document to bring other seekers, as it were, in our journey to Christ, because all of it is focused on Christ, and with it, the joy of the gospel. Maybe some of the gifts you could think about, the gifts of what God gives us, the fruits of the Spirit, and among them is joy and perseverance and love and peace. They're just the fruits that grow, but they're not the gifts. I want us to think about what we've actually been given, but what we've been given goes into some fruit. It bears fruit for other people. We're all very good at looking at the world and seeing what's wrong with it, and how if whoever it was would listen to the way we have it sorted out, then we'd all live in a different world. And we can often spend hours with each other putting the world to rights. That's part of some of the gifts we may have. And rather than just thinking talking among ourselves, we've got to begin then to show it. So, is our presence compassionate where we are? Are we encouraging? Do we respect and value each person that we meet? Are we forgiving? Do we act justly, love tenderly, walk humbly with our God, as Micah has it? Is our hope for a better world here, but also our eyes fixed elsewhere on the eternal life? Because that's one of the great gifts we can bring to people who can see nothing beyond this life, because this is but a pale shadow of what is to come. So we've got that joy, that encouragement, that vision, and they're all given to us because we can share that, because we come to the Lord and he gives us those gifts. Are we hospitable and generous? What gift do we have, no matter how small? Because everybody has some gift. I always remember a lady who said to me, because I'm no good, I've nothing, I'm no good. My mother said I was useless, and it's always been so. It is not true. And I was able to point out to her some of the great strength that she had, that she'd not noticed. And she was then probably about in the late 40s, early 50s. And great strengths, all of us have different things. But what we're bringing them, as it were, on that pilgrimage in life, and offering them to his people, used for the kingdom, or his church, or his people, wherever we are. Maybe today, Epiphany 2014, is to look not at the gifts that they brought, but at what we've been given, which is our gift for God. And what can I do in his service? Because that's why he calls us. That's why he says, you're all pilgrims on this journey to me. I've given you all of these things. How are you using it? What they did was they offered him gifts, but they fell down and worshipped him. That's what we come. We come, we worship, we fall down. And as we offer that gifts, which we do, the gifts of the bread and wine that we bring up, we offer them to God, and he gives them back to us. Go, use it in my service. Use maybe this coming week to think, what could I do more? Some of you will say, I've been doing it for the last 80 years, or 70, or however long it is. There's always something we can do. We bring it to the Lord, offer it, and you find how it's transformed, given back in service to the Lord our God.